This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Do you ever get so fed up with dating and dating apps that you vow to give them up altogether? Well, Tinder's turned 10 this month. I think Grindr's in its 13th year. We're going to ask the question, are we experiencing dating app burnout?
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
What is dating app burnout?
So it's basically feeling depleted and cynical about the whole process, as though I'm never going to meet someone that's perfect for me, and therefore I'm just exhausted by the process and potentially thinking of abandoning online dating altogether. Now, obviously, this is more skewed towards people who are using the apps for looking for a relationship as opposed to a hookup, because those feelings like, you know, the one that's right for me aren't really the undercurrent of a hookup connection.
How common is this dating app burnout?
Seemingly very, and obviously that's you know, the idea that people feel like they're going to leave and never come back is a very popular sentiment amongst people who are asked, do you ever get that feeling like this is not for you? And the majority of people are saying, yes, absolutely. The idea of scrapping all of the apps from their phone is an idea that enters their head regularly. But something that comes, you know, that stops them, kind of like the whole delete Facebook thing and why that never went anywhere. There is an element here of the only game in townness to it, in the sense, what is your alternative? So if you are looking for a relationship, what are you going to do if you're not on these apps? Now, yes, you'll tell me, oh, okay, well, you could go to a nightclub, you could go to a few other things. These things are declining in popularity. They aren't the primary ways people meet anymore. Online apps are.
I wonder how much of these apps, you know, they promote existing or insecurities that we already have. Like, I'm just thinking of a chat I had with a guy on one of the apps, and I mustn't have replied on time or something. And he said to me, he goes, oh, and we ended up meeting up probably 2 years down the track. And he said to me, he goes, oh, I thought because of your delayed reply that you weren't interested in me. And I'm being honest here. The delayed reply was because I was actually going and making a coffee or doing something simple like that. And I thought afterwards, wow, isn't it funny how we can misinterpret people's actions? And I know a lot of people are as rude as anything on these apps, but we also can misinterpret genuine, you know, actions wrongly.
Except that also happens in real life as well. So when I say real life, I mean meeting in a pre-internet or at least separate from the internet world as well. We misinterpret people's actions. We used to lose phone numbers. Lots of things used to, you know, lead to a similar outcome. Something, though, that has changed the game is the fact that it has introduced a whole lot of bad behavior. And like you said, people being rude. Yes, people were rude before the internet. Of course they were. But the scale in which you're encountering people now is completely different, because you might have gone months without meeting someone, you know, pre-apps, whereas now you can be interacting with dozens of people every day. Now, that that approach can lead to a cavalierness towards online dating, where people don't seem to you real flesh and blood, but rather just someone I've got to plow through in order to meet the one. And that can then lead to sort of a rudeness or being shorthanded with people that you wouldn't be that way in real life. You'd at least extend them some courtesies. It's also introduced a whole lot of, you know, bad dating behavior, things like ghosting, which you wouldn't have done meeting someone on an app, because prior to this, you met people through your social networks. You wouldn't walk away from them without even a goodbye, because your networks were so connected in a way that they're not now.
It's interesting, because I found, you know, when I'm chatting to people, some people say, oh, how old are you? And I give them my age and I'm honest with it. Yeah. And then they'll just disappear and I'm completely blocked. But before that, you know, the comments are quite positive. And I'm thinking, you know, if I was at a bar or if I was, you you know, say at one of M's parties or something. And they'd see the grey hair. You know what I mean? They'd go, oh, actually, you know what? I'm either into this guy or I'm not. But they wouldn't all of a sudden come up and put their hand in my face and go, nah, you're too old.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that – one of the accusations about dating this way is that it's made people more superficial, that you're just looking through photos, except we kind of did judge people the same way pre-internet. It's not as though we've just developed eyes, right? We've always done this in this courting ritual. The difference is volume, and you can feel rejected multiple times a day now, which was not the case before this. And, yes, it's a, you know, there's an element of buyer beware about it, but that has changed the game. It's also changed the idea of, you know, the capacity to leave relationships now, because you can use the same technology you found your partner to find a better one. So you don't stay in bad relationships to the same extent anymore, because there are opportunities there, which pre-internet, the idea of recoupling after divorce, let's say, or recoupling after a long-term marriage, particularly as you got older, was much more difficult.
Speaking of volume, it also feels like, and, you know, I haven't been in the dating app game for a while now, but when I was, it did feel like there was always a better option. So it was like, even if you found a connection with someone that you thought, okay, this person is really attractive to me, we have this cool bond, this is great, you know, there's this sense of, yeah, but what if I go on the app tomorrow and I find someone that's even better? Yeah.
And then you stuff that person around.
Exactly.
And say, yeah, I'll be over in half an hour. Oh, actually, can you make it an hour? Sorry, the cat got out.
Exactly.
I'm not coming until.
There's better options.
Oh.
Well, you think there is anyway.
Absolutely. I wrote a book on online dating and how it's changed intimacy a few years ago, and I've got a chapter in there specifically dealing with how it's kind of bred into us this notion of almost capitalist capitalist thinking towards dating, you know, much like advertising, you know, buy this product, your life is, you know, meaningless without it. But the second you buy it, you're encouraged to buy the next product. And it's very much with online dating. The very app that you met your person on is targeting you to keep logging in, to keep searching for even better.
Yeah.
And that mentality of going in with a shopping list of qualities I want, for example, Warren is to, you know, whatever for me. Again, you can do that online in a way you wouldn't do in person, because the same technology is the same technology we use to buy our groceries and shop for shoes. And we're so trained to be really specific. Why do I have to put up with someone who doesn't love Batman as much as me? I can keep searching for that Batman loving person or whatever your qualities are, because the technology allows you to be that refined in your search.
We're chatting to Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about dating app burnout. Lauren, I wonder if once we, you know, say, right, you know what, I've had enough of this scrolling on the apps, I'm going to delete it. Do we know if people's moods improve?
Yeah, it's hard to say because of that idea of it being still the place where everyone's at, where everyone is if they're looking for love or sex. So, yes, people leave, you know, and they'll often have that snap moment, I can't do this anymore, I can't keep selling myself this way, you know, kind of like making yourself look like the most attractive yogurt pot on the shelf. But they eventually return because the other options there are not there anymore. For example, pre-internet, work, school, and church were the three main places people met people for who became their partner.
Church.
They're all gone now. Yeah, church. So, you know, that's your problem there, Warren. You're not living in the right places. but now the internet is the top place people meet their partners. So even if you say no, well, everyone else is in their pajamas scrolling. So where are you going to go to meet this person? Yes, of course, there's still bars and nightclubs. It's just that we're also now have trained 10 years, but longer really, trained people to actually not approach people in a cold call way because we're so used to doing it through apps as well. So we've also de-skilled ourselves as well from doing that in-person, you know, meet and greet.
Do you think it also puts pressure on relationships that are formed, because there's always this kind of subconscious thing like, oh, if we break up or it doesn't work out with us, they can very quickly go back on the apps and find someone new, like that.
Yeah. Or,
yeah, I mean, one of my...
If it doesn't work out...
Sorry.
If it doesn't work out, I'll have to go back on the app, so I better make it work out.
Yeah, the opposite of that as well,
It could work both ways. A close friend of mine, his relationship, which was a fairly long-term relationship, a couple of years, ended because he refused to delete the apps. Now, he was never on them to find another partner. He just liked recreationally scrolling. But for his partner, that obviously made her feel incredibly insecure, as it would. He really needed to do this in privacy and not let her find out. If you're going to do this recreational scrolling of who's out there, their relationship went bust. And that idea of, you know, when do you delete the apps? When do you delete your profile? It's almost like that sort of Facebook official status. It's also a thing where people are reluctant to close off options.
Fantastic to chat with you again, Lauren. We'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive with Em and Warren. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Joy949Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.